the 14th chapter of the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. You'll find authorized versions of the Holy Scripture in the pew before you. Make use of that. Chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. We're reading from verse 1 to verse 13. And on the Lord's Day morning, we read it together. Taking your time from me. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 and 4,000, having his Father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song, but the 144,000 and 4,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from amongst men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And God shall stamp with his divine seal of approval this reading from his very old infallible book. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. Miracle of miracles, an assembly of human beings without fault. My text Revelation chapter 14 and verse 5. They are without fault before the throne of God. Heaven has been described by a hymn writer in the words of the couplet, "Far from the world of grief and sin, with God eternally shut in." My inspired text describes it thus: they are without fault before the throne of God. And that brings me to the first point that I want to make: their scrutiny before the throne of God. This assembly of human beings comes under the closest possible scrutiny before the thrice holy throne of the thrice holy God. There is a hymn that talks about us being beneath the throne. We should no longer lie like slaves beneath the throne. Then we think of a position which has oftentimes become appropriate for us to use to describe our own position: far off from the throne. How often we feel that we should be behind the throne, for then God could not look upon us, and if we were before it, we would stand rightly condemned. But the saints in heaven are not beneath the throne. They do not lie as slaves beneath God's throne. The saints in heaven are not behind God's throne. God has his eye on every one of them. They are not far off from God's throne, so they cannot be scrutinized by the eye of deity. They are before the throne. Why, all the saints in heaven this morning are all before God's throne. God is looking at them. God is beholding them. God is scrutinizing them. And they are always seeing God as God is always seeing them. And they are always drinking of the indescribable bliss of the eternal glory of Emmanuel's plan. Their scrutiny, they are before the throne. And then we come to their state. They are without fault. None of them were faultless when on earth. I met a man once who claimed to be sinless. And when I put some questions to him, he soon demonstrated that he was not sinless, but really very sinful, because he made some very foolish thoughts of his heart known to me. And I turned them to the Bible, and I said, "I read here, the thought of foolishness is sin." His theory was shattered. This is the unchanging possession of the saints of God in heaven. They are without fault. There has never been an assembly of human beings on earth that were without fault before God's throne and before the scrutiny of God's eye. But here in heaven, they have an irreversible, unchanging position, eternally settled in their justification before God, a position that cannot be changed or altered. They are without fault before the throne of God. We know our sinfulness when we recognize Christ's righteousness. We have no argument to put to the stains and corruption of our fallen nature when it is displayed in the brightness of the righteousness of Christ. All the fitness God requires of any man for salvation is for him to cry out because he sees the need for his sins to be dealt with through the cleansing blood of the Savior. All the fitness, as the hymn says, he requireth is to know his need of him. This he gives us. 'Tis the Spirit's rising beam. Filthiest outcast, the vilest undeserving, ill-deserving, and hell-deserving sinner. They are the people that God saved and is continuing to be saved. And they are part of this great crowd that is without fault before God's throne. I'm glad this day that there is a crown in heaven, and the only head it will fit upon is mine. For God made that crown for me. So you try to put it on when you get to heaven, and you'll not manage it. It'll either fall over your celestial ears, or it'll not go on the top of your celestial cranium. You can't wear it. It's not for you. It was made for me. I'll wear it in the glory land. I don't know how long I'll wear it. I don't expect very long, for I want to cast it at Jesus' feet. For they cast their crowns at Jesus' feet. Let me say to you, Christ saves sinners. That young man may live in the very kennel of hell, but thank God there's hope for him. For Jesus Christ came to save sinners. That woman may be evil in her heart, but let that woman meet Jesus as Mary Magdalene met Jesus, and she'll have every devil cast out from her spirit and every sin cleansed away in the precious blood of the Lamb. The man just out of the tomb was a suitable candidate for gospel grace, gospel truth, and gospel glory. To quote Luther again, he said, the saints of God in heaven find it hard to recognize themselves, for they are dazzled with the brightness of the robe of Christ's righteousness, which every one of them wears. Even now, by faith, we join hands with those who went before and greet the blood-sprinkled bands on the eternal shore. They are without fault. Oh, that happy word were given. Loose me and let me rise to heaven and wrap myself in God. Without fault before God. Miracle of miracles. Hallelujah. Amen. Those in God's family will be without fault before God's throne forever and evermore. The church down here on earth today has three great faults, but not one of these faults is known to the church in the glory land. The first fault is lack of love for one another. The Lord Jesus said, "By this shall ye know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." But how loveless are the people of God. What great lacking is among the people of God as far as love is concerned. When they know something critical of their own brother in Christ, their own sister in Christ, instead of taking it to the Lord in prayer, or exhorting their brother and sister as they should, they think it is something to gossip about. And oh, the sorrow that brings to hearts already broken with departing from the keeping of God's commandments. Lack of love for one another. And then, sadly, many people spread things that are not true at all. They have no foundation in truth. Why? Because of lack of love for one another. Secondly, lack of love for the souls of man. Why are souls not being saved in the church? Because we're not loving them to Jesus. If you really love that neighbor, you would be doing everything to love that neighbor into the embrace of the arms of Christ and into the joy of heaven's pardon. But you lack love for that soul. Oh, lay one soul upon my heart and love that soul through me and help me, God, to do my part to win that soul for thee. Lack of love for souls. Lack of love for our Lord himself. Oh, that we might love him and love him with such a passion and with such an urge. Love him in a fire kindled by continual and constant prayer and Bible reading. Up there in heaven, Jesus, their Lord, their hearts employ. Jesus, their love they sing. Jesus, the life of both our joys, sounds sweet from every string of the golden harps that they sing, that they play. Plunged in God's deepest sea and lost in God's immensity. Great God, every one of them shouts, "I'm clean." Through Jesus' blood, I'm clean. These are they that came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. one final word about their strength. Who are they? Are they apostles? Are they prophets? Are they patriarchs? No, listen. Revelation chapter 14, 1-4. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. Oh, how sweet to have the flowing of a soul-redeeming blood, with divine assurance knowing that he made my peace with God. Ah, yes, it was sinners Jesus came to save. Not sham sinners, but real red-neck sinners. Oh, if God would come and meet me, my soul would stretch its wings in haste, fly fearlessly through death's open gate, nor feel the terrors as I pass. We were singing it, to be there. To be there, oh, what must it be to be there? Say, if you stood now at this moment before God in judgment, what would your hope and faith be? Believe in Christ now and in Christ alone, and it will be well for you forever. Believing is giving all to Jesus, and taking all that Jesus gives to you. It is changing houses with Christ. It is changing clothes with Christ. It is changing our sins for his righteousness. Dear sinner friend, execute the exchange right now, or rather let the grace of Almighty God do it, and you will be acquitted forever. May we all at last meet in heaven. For there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Meet me there. Meet me there for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh God, the wonder of heaven strikes through to our hearts. The wonder of the city of God, the wonder of the streets of gold, and the pearl-hung gates, the wonder of the jaspers, and the shining diamonds and precious stones that make up the foundation of the heaven of heavens. But best of all, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. And what we want to see is not the gold in the streets. What we want to see is not the crystal stream of the river. We want to see Jesus, the one who died for us upon his cross and shed his crimson blood that we might be redeemed. Lord, make us truly thankful, we who are saved. And help us to remember we're going to be part of a great multitude, and that multitude are without fault before God because of the application of the blood of Christ. Help us to have a heavenly spirit here below, to love our Christian brethren and sisters, to love the souls of men who are lost, but most of all, every day and every night, to love Jesus with all our might and with all our soul and with all our strength, to love Thee from the depths of our soul. Put a touch of heaven into our hearts this day for Jesus' sake. And everybody say, Amen.